So, Matt, if you could fight any celebrity, who would you fight?
Oh, man, it'd have to be Batista. You know, you seeing him in Guardians of the Galaxy, it's, I mean, you've got to get paid money from taking a hit from that guy, you know.
Really? Batista?
Batista.
I don't know. For some reason, I'd like to fight that bastard Silent Bob. Because he never says anything. He just looks at Jay, and he just stares.
And he just uses the Force sometimes.
And then Jay always makes fun of him, and I think, man, Silent Bob should kick Jay's ass. But maybe I want to kick Silent Bob's ass. I don't know. But, but that's not really a true real-life celebrity. If it was a real-life celebrity, that's a tough one. Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller?
I hate Ben Stiller.
I would love to punch Ben Stiller.
Yeah.
He's not a real comedian.
Punching Ben Stiller would just make me feel better.
That would be real comedy.
Especially since he got to hug Cameron Diaz.
This is Rebel Radio, the official podcast of TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
Welcome to episode 10 of Rebel Radio. I am your host, Mark.
And the Electric Monkey is here.
No Frank T. Biscuit today. We're not sure where he's out. Maybe in the outer dimensions of the outer realm, hunting down the Borg or something. Who knows where Frank is today, but he's not with us. And so it's me and the Electric Monkey hanging out for the new edition of Rebel Radio, the official podcast of TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. Thanks for listening. This podcast so far has been a fairly good success, and we don't say that enough. Thank you all for listening, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you guys. You know, this is why we're here. You know, our fans out there that listen to us religiously and enjoy what we talk about, so thank you guys.
And well, before we go further and talk about today's topics, remember us at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com, and you can follow us on all sorts of social media. Mark, myself, and Frank, and Matt, we all have Twitter accounts. You can follow us on Instagram, TrustMeI'mAJedi, Facebook, Pinterest, Tumblr, you name it, we've got it. So, if you've been on TrustMeI'mAJedi.com lately, you saw a new edition of Retroplex Cinema where we discussed Fight Club. Fight Club is 15 years old already, kind of hard to believe. Kind of a seminal modern classic that when it came out in theaters, it didn't do so well. People weren't sure what to make of the movie. I mean, it had Brad Pitt, who was becoming a big star at the time, and Edward Norton was kind of an unknown. And so, you know, this movie came out, and critics didn't know what to make of it because it was kind of different. And but the film has found an audience over the years through Blu-ray and DVD and television. And Fight Club is something that when I saw in 1999, I was coming out of high school, and it really stayed with me. I walked out of the theater and go, wow, that was a unique, very cool film, and it's something I still enjoy years later. And it affects different generations differently. I know I'm a few years older than Matt, and Fight Club, I don't know if it had what kind of effect it had on you when you saw it, but for me, it was like I walked out going, wow, I looked at movies differently. This director, David Fincher, I had seen his previous film, Seven and The Game, which were really good, but Fight Club spoke to me in a different way. Of not so much a rebellious way, but like it's Fight Club. I think it's a unique experience for everyone that sees it.
It was very anti-trend. It's like, what are you doing with your life? You know, Edward Norton did a really good job of that, and you know, Tyler Durden, whenever he's grabbing the gas station attendant and he's throwing him to the ground, tell him if he doesn't get his grades up, he's going to kill him. You know, it was very different, and the ending, you know, I was way younger when I saw it, so the ending just, I was like, what? who's who?
Well, it had a twist ending, of course, and if you haven't seen Fight Club, just go ahead and assume that this talk is spoilerific. That before twist endings were common, now it seems like you go and every movie wants to do a twist ending, every television show, but when Fight Club came out, twist endings were still something of a unique concept that could catch you off guard. You know, you had murder mysteries that would have twist endings and stuff, but general cinema, there wasn't a whole lot of it, even as early as just 15 years ago. And Fight Club, at the end of the film, when you realize that Tyler Durden is a figment of the narrator's imagination, your jaw drops. It's kind of a WTF moment, and you're like, wow, really? You didn't realize it the whole time. and it still stands strong today when I watch Fight Club. You still do pick up on the nuances of the character, and you start realizing that after you see it that, yeah, okay, it was all in imagination, but it, when you first saw it, that really took you back.
Exactly. And, I mean, it, like the article that, that Mark posted earlier, it, everyone emulated this movie that came out. I remember my neighbors, you know, I heard some pounding, and then something crashed against the fence, and I'm looking, and they're fighting in the backyard. They had their own Fight Club. And I'm like, you know, it's like, you know, they really got into the movie and tried to do their own thing.
And that was funny about it, because the whole idea was, obviously, Fight Club has very anti-establishment trends in it, anti-marketing, such like that. But I don't think the writer, Chuck Palahniuk, I think I said that right, I may have said his name wrong, or the directors of the film intended for that message to be taken literally. And like you said, there were Fight Clubs posting out everywhere. I think I remember driving somewhere and I saw kids fighting on the side of the road shortly after the movie, and there were people getting arrested across the nation for it, taking it literally to make a Fight Club. And that was never the intentions of the filmmakers or the writers.
No.
and one thing I really noticed about it too was for me, you know, we're used to seeing Brad Pitt and Edward Norton in a lot of films now, but their acting in the movie was like, okay, these guys are good, you know, and Brad Pitt wasn't just a pretty boy anymore. Yeah, he started changing that image with Seven, but Fight Club really brought it out.
Oh, yeah.
And Edward Norton, I've been watching him ever since Fight Club. The guy is a phenomenal actor, too, as well.
And he gave up Selma Hayek. I mean, he was engaged to Selma Hayek, and he had commitment issues, and he lost her. I mean, man, he could have had Selma Hayek. Didn't you see her in that last movie? She couldn't have her daughter present because she filmed some kind of saucy scene. I remember the article. I just don't remember the movie.
Man, I'm going to have to hunt that down and find it.
We're going to have to hunt it down and to find out the name of that movie.
And another thing about Fight Club is the whole idea is of anti-establishment, anti-advertising. And when I was writing the article for Trust Me, I'm a Jedi, I didn't realize that apparently there's a Starbucks cup in every scene. I'm going to have to go back and look for that. Not every shot, literally, but every scene. And it's supposed to be this, a joke about the anti-advertising, anti-establishment. And there were other subliminal messages in the movie, of course. The Tyler Durden blimps that are in the first 20 minutes of the film.
I remember that.
Which I remember when I initially saw it, I didn't notice that. And if Frank was here, he would want to tell a ha-ha story about how he saw it the first time. And, you know, so
and no one else noticed
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and, you know, that's Frank's claim to fame in Fight Club. So we'll go ahead and tell it for him, even though the biscuit's not in the recording studio today. And, and some other things. I didn't even know that we're kind of just rambling about Fight Club here. But that's what this is about, is a... You were reading the article, and Russell Crowe, I had no idea either that he
Russell
was originally
Crowe.
Wanted for the role.
I mean, there's a lot of movies you see like that. You know, they went after Russell Crowe. You know, Robin Williams was going to be the Joker in the original Batman. Chris Farley was going to play a role for... Actually, Chris Farley was going to play a role for John Belushi. John Belushi died. You know, and Chris Farley died. And then no one wanted to take... I forget who else tried to take on the role. And then they died, too. But, yeah, these actors, you know, they go after, you know, different actors for these screens... screenplays, and man, it's really cool to see who, you know, might they have picked other than the person that was cast originally.
Right. And another interesting thing is in the article it talks about the marketing for the film. When David Fincher first turned in Fight Club to the 20th Century Fox, they wanted to market it as a fighting movie with these big name actors, and David Fincher's like, no, that's not what it's about. So he actually hired his own marketing agency to market the film. So 20th Century Fox had their budget where they marketed the film like a fight movie. Because I remember when I saw the trailers back in early 99, that's what I thought it was.
Oh, yeah.
And then Fincher had a marketing company that would have like these public service announcements done by Brad Pitt and Edward Norton, and they would air like on MTV or late night television on kind of off color networks, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And they would run in like alternative magazines, like, Soap Gets the Blood Stains Out, with Fight Club posters and stuff. And this was all done by Fincher's agency, and he fought with Fox on it and the film, and he also fought with the cut of the film because Fox thought it was too violent, and they didn't know how to sell the movie. And critics didn't know what to make of the movie. Some critics got it. Like, in Rotten Tomatoes, it still gets an 80%.
Some
critics didn't get it. And in the original DVD release, Fincher made fun of this. There was a booklet, because I remember I used to have it inside there, that had good critics' remarks and bad critics' remarks. He actually put bad remarks in the booklet to kind of make fun of what people thought of the film.
That's awesome.
And now we are 15 years later that Fight Club is considered a modern classic. And people look back on it, and Fight Club, I think, can be grouped in that same group of films in the late 90s, along with Pulp Fiction and some of those movies that can tell The Usual Suspects, that can tell these complex, deep stories, and the narrative not be the norm, and still have a fantastic movie.
And the cliches that come with it. I mean, what would Tyler Durden do? We don't talk about, insert thing here.
Right. First rule of Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club, which, going back on 8 or 9 minutes ago now, we have broken that rule.
Yes.
But, and it's funny, too, the movie had such an anti-establishment, anti-advertising, anti-trend factor, but yet there were posters made. There's Tyler Durden action figures. There's a video game out for the original Xbox and PlayStation 2, which is considered one of the worst video games ever made. It wasn't well received.
Yeah, not a lot of movie games are.
Again, the studio thought it was a fight movie, so they made a fighting video game of Fight Club. Bars of soap, numerous things. And you can still buy Fight Club merchandise out there today. Man. I've seen wallets that say Fight Club. I've seen numerous things. So it's funny, all this merchandise came out of a movie that became kind of a cult classic for a movie that's supposed to be against advertising. And
an anti-trend trend.
And, and another thing, too, is Fight Club stayed with me, is it wasn't afraid to take risk. Like, you watch Fight Club, and you'll always remember Meatloaf's performance in the movie, who played Robert Bob Paulson with the bitch tits.
Yes, the bitch tits. Ex-powerlifter.
Yes, you're always going to remember it. You'll never forget to see Edward Norton laying his head on him, and there's drool on him, and it will always stay with you. And then, of course, Oscar winner and 30 Seconds of Mars lead singer Jared Leto, in one of his early roles, is in the film. Mm-hmm. He's the blonde that Brad Pitt beats the hell out of in the first Fight Clubs in the basement. And a lot of people don't even know that Jared's in the movie because it's a blink and you miss moment. Just some things to take away from Fight Club. It's one of my top five non-science fiction films of all time. We talk about Star Wars and other movies, but Fight Club, I think, falls in that genre of otherworldly kind of offbeat films, and I think that's why it's okay to cover it on Trust Me a Jedi and Rebel Radio.
Oh, yeah. Plus, it's just really cool.
Yeah, it really is. And now we just have to hope that Tyler Durden doesn't hunt us down for breaking the first rule of Fight Club, because... and also the other rule is, if it's your first night at Fight Club, you have to fight. And I'm not fighting you, Matt.
No, I'm not fighting.
No, that's not a good
idea. I've got 5 minutes of fight left in me, and I'm saving it for when someone cuts me off in a Whataburger line.
But again, Fight Club, 15 years old. It's amazing. It's been 15 years since it came out. I remember seeing it in theaters. And read the article, Retroplex Cinema, up at TrustingWithJedi.com. Yes, we have to do shameless plugs on Rebel Radio for the website, because that's what we're all about. And anything left to say about Fight Club and 15 years of it?
Let's just not talk about it, Mark.
That's probably a good idea, because the first rule of Fight Club is...
do not talk about Whataburger. Fight Club.
Fight Club.
Sorry, Brad Pitt.
Yeah, you're breaking the advertising rule.
Hello, everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men.
And this is Mike Zabcik from The Same, and you're listening to...
Rebel Radio. And you can find that on TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
You're a Jedi?
Superhero Fight Club, Matt.
Oh, man.
If we could put two superheroes in a room, no holds barred, this is not always, people always want to say who would win, the Hulk or Superman. No, this is who would you like to see fight, and you could really stand there and watch it live.
Oh, man.
Make it good. You can't just be cliche and say Batman versus Superman.
No, I wouldn't go that route. A lot of people would say Batman and Superman.
Or Wolverine and Hulk.
Wolverine and Hulk.
Or Deadpool and Punisher.
I would say, you mentioned one. I would say Deadpool and Batman. Both have great martial arts schools. They've got tools. You know, Deadpool, he has the guns. Batman doesn't like the guns. So I think there's a real grudge thing going on there. I think there'd be some, you know, it'd be interesting because both are kind of like the mortal kind of superhero, you know, where they bleed, you know, not like Superman or the Hulk where, you know, it seems like they're just impenetrable. So I think it would be interesting.
It would be. But you know what else would be interesting?
What?
Be Power Girl versus Wonder Woman in bikinis. With Mary Jane Watson and Gwen Stacy as the ring girls.
Yes.
That would be pretty interesting.
You just took it to a whole new level.
That's right. That's what it was all about.
This is Frank T. Biscuit.
And this is the Electric Monkey.
And you are listening to Rebel Radio, the official podcast of TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
So this is Rebel Radio continuing on with your host Mark and the Electric Monkey Matt Hangin.
Right here.
And we were just talking a little bit about Fight Club, but we weren't supposed to talk about that. So let's move on to a different subject before Tyler Durden comes and finds us. And so, of course, TrustMeJedi.com takes its name from Star Wars, and it's hard. You're going to hear some Star Wars talk on Rebel Radio and on the site, and we're really excited because everyone in the Star Wars world is excited because Episode 7 is coming out next year, directed by J.J. Abrams, and the new cartoon just started on Disney, Star Wars Rebels, the movie Spark of Rebellion, premiered last week and to record numbers, like 6.5 million viewers, and has been absolutely praised. And I know sometimes it starts to seem like on Rebel Radio that we like everything. There isn't something we don't like. There are things we don't like. Like, I don't like Ben Stiller, as I said earlier. I'd like to punch him in the face.
That's right.
But Rebels, if you're a Star Wars fan, I know some people have been complaining about the animation and stuff. But, you know, people didn't like the animation in the Clone Wars at first, and it grew on you. But I absolutely love Star Wars Rebels. It might have been the funnest hour I've had seen in the Star Wars universe in years.
Yes.
It was awesome.
And it left you on a hanger.
Yeah. I mean, just hearing the TIE fighter music again, or the sound of the TIE fighters, not the music, was awesome.
Mandalorian
incredible.
Armor.
The bounty hunter, just the attitudes, seeing stormtroopers. I mean, I can't say enough, the music. You know, and the big reveal I forget the character's name, but when he reveals himself that he's a Jedi,
yes.
Even though you kind of knew it from the trailers, it was still cool.
It was.
It was like it had a Star Wars epic moment. Like, he's a Jedi. That's badass.
He assembled his lightsaber right there, you know, and then he's just dodging the laser fire and just starts deflecting lasers back at the Imperials. It's awesome.
And Ezra was a lot of fun as the main young kid who seems to be force sensitive, opening the holocron. And it was such a big hit, they're going to air it on ABC at the end of October, the 26th, I believe.
Oh, wow.
And have an added scene in it with Darth Vader.
What?
And James Earl Jones is coming back to voice Vader for the brief added scene.
No way.
And I think it's really cool. And, you know, because it does take place after Episode 3 and before Episode 4. It's 14 years after Revenge of the Sith. Mm-hmm. And so Vader's obviously around. And but I think, though, if you had Darth Vader make several cameos and keep him in the background and don't overuse him, it could be really cool.
I think it could, too.
You know, just because, like, there's been talks that down the line we might get appearances from the young Luke Skywalker or some of these other characters. And you got to use them in small stints. Let the new characters speak for themselves. But cameos, like, we know Lando's coming. They've already said that Lando's going to be on Star Wars.
Lando's going to be there.
You know, and
which means the Millennium Falcon will be there.
That's what I'm wondering. Will we get to see an early version of the Millennium Falcon?
I'm counting on it.
And it's exciting in time to be a Star Wars fan. And I look forward to Rebels. We are going to be probably talking Star Wars Rebels a lot on Rebel Radio and talk about what we think of each episode. We might spoil the episodes because we are Rebel Radio, so how can we not talk about Star Wars Rebels?
You got to. Yeah. You've got to say something about it. You know, we're definitely going to make time for it. You know, this is, you know, what the Rebellion was doing in the shadows, the little missions that they were doing, like this one freeing the Wookiees. Was Chewbacca in there? I don't think I caught it.
No, they threw nods to them, but there was no real Chewbacca from what I could see. And but, you know, as Star Wars Rebels goes forward, is we're getting 16 episodes this first season. It's already been renewed for next year. What are some things you'd like to see on Star Wars Rebels? Anything that you could see if you wanted to, what would you want to see on this show since it takes place between episodes 3 and 4 over the next several years?
Well, man, obviously, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Yoda, they went into hiding, right? So I would like to see, you know, what they were doing while they were in hiding. Well, you know, I'd like to see Yoda on Dagobah. You know, and I'd like to see Obi-Wan on Tatooine, and you know, maybe, you know, fending off some storm, you know, some sand people. You know, but they will return, but in greater numbers.
And this may seem cliche because he's popular, but I'd like to see a teenager Boba Fett.
Oh, dude!
I mean, I think that would be really cool. I'd like to see the young Lando and how he gets his smug ways. You know, so to speak, but definitely more Tatooine, more sand people. You know, I'd like to see, you know, how the last of the Jedi were maybe taken away before, you know, Obi-Wan finds Luke in A New Hope and we get a new Jedi Order, so to speak. I'd like to see, you know, I wonder if we'll get hints of the Death Star being built, since we did see the Death Star being built at the end of Revenge of the Sith.
Yep.
It's 14 years later, so you're thinking the Death Star is out there somewhere.
It's got to be in construction.
You know, I'd love to see a return to Endor. I know they've hinted at returning to Hoth in the show, you know, things like that. There's so much. I mean, I enjoyed the Clone Wars. I thought it was one of the best things to come out of the prequel era. But the possibility of Rebels, of what they can do on it, is just open-ended right now. And I think it has a lot of people excited. You know, we could get a young Han Solo. We could get a young Chewbacca. I know there's talks about that this is definitely canon, and there may be stuff that ties in with Episode 7 or the Solo movies that are coming up. And, you can't say enough, you know.
You know, and obviously, you know, Luke was given to his aunt and uncle who knew a lot about, you know, where Luke came from. Obviously knew a lot about Darth Vader. You know, how did they come in possession of Luke? You know, who arranged that? It had to have been Obi-Wan, but it'd be cool to see that scene, you know, Obi-Wan entrusting. You know, you just know what happened. You never saw it happen. And even if it's animated, it'd be really cool.
Wait, with Obi-Wan handing Luke to...
Yeah.
They show it at the end of Episode 3.
Really?
Yeah, Revenge of the Sith.
I just remember, you know, Anakin getting mad. Going, no, everything's exploding.
No, Matt, there was a little epilogue there where he hands Obi-Wan to Lars and Beru.
Right.
And speaking of which, Joel Edgerton, who played Owen in the prequel in Episode 3, has said he would love to come back and play Owen if they do this Obi-Wan solo movie. But right now, no one really knows what solo movies are doing. All we know is we're getting Episodes 7, 8, and 9, and we're getting some solo movies. We just don't know what they are yet. You know, and but it's... It's an exciting time to be a Star Wars fan. It's like in 1998 when Episode 1's come out, everyone was excited. Yeah, the prequels weren't what we wanted them to be, but everyone was excited. And I think since 1998, I think this is the first time people are as excited as this. They're excited for Episode 7. Start to Star Wars Rebels has been great. And it's a good time to have the Force with us.
And the Force may be with you, always.
And, well, like I said, we'll be talking about Star Wars Rebels on Rebel Radio, and the show premieres next Monday, or this coming Monday, October 13th, will be the actual episodes. They'll be airing on Monday nights on Disney XD. So make sure you check out Star Wars Rebels, and come back and listen to us guys on Rebel Radio, and we'll be talking about Star Wars Rebels, the official podcast of TrustingMyJedi.com, and... No, Star Wars Rebels isn't the official podcast. Rebel Radio is the official podcast at TrustingMyJedi.com. But, yeah, Star Wars Rebels, Disney. Oh, and if you're curious, they put the movie out, Spark of Rebellion, on DVD. Shameless plug, you know, you can buy it from the Amazon links on TrustingMyJedi.com. Help out Rebel Radio, help out the site. And that's available on DVD right now if you wish to buy it. And look for the replay of Spark of Rebellion on ABC on October 26th.
This is Booker T, Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Rubber Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
So, we continue on our podcast today. So, Mark, you know, there's this new TV series. I think you know what I'm talking about. Gotham. Have you been watching?
Yeah, I think I've heard of Gotham. You know, considering I have a Batman tattoo on me, I'm a pretty big Batman fan. So, yeah, I have been watching Gotham, Matt. Oh, what do you think about it so far?
I like it. You know, I like that that they have, you know, all these characters popping up, you know. The development of Jim Gordon, he's a rookie cop, and going through all these different scenarios in Gotham, and the different crime lords, and you got Jada Pinkett Smith in there, and she does a really good job.
She's a little over the top, but I think she's supposed to be, and I too like it. I as a Batman fan, I have some minor issues with it. I try not to be too critical of it, because, you know, it is a different interpretation of the Batman universe, you know. And I'm okay with that. It's kind of like Smallville is different, Arrow's different, and you know, we come fresh out of the Christopher Nolan films, which were so well received, and you have to be open to other ideas, you know. And I think the guy who plays Penguin is cool. The guy who plays Gordon is growing on me. The guy who plays Harvey Bullock is perfect.
Yes,
Daniel Logan, I think is how you say his name. Mm-hmm. He's perfect. That's exactly how Bullock is in the comics. So wise ass. Joke cracker, kind of half dirty, half good cop.
Yes.
And he's perfect for Bullock. And but so far, I've had very little complaints. The minor complaints I have, honestly, are the Bruce Wayne scenes.
Yeah, those are kind of awkward. I don't know what to think about
them. Right. Alfred is like, one minute hugging and being a father figure, and one minute he's trying to be tough on him. It's a little weird, and Bruce Wayne's almost so young compared to the other characters. I know Gordon's supposed to be a little older than him, but it's just... And it's like, is he 12, 13, 14? It's like, it's hard to tell his age because the actor they chose. And that's probably my biggest beef with it.
And Selina Kyle almost looks a little older than Bruce Wayne. So that what kind of throws...
I've heard people say that. But I do think she... I don't know how old the actress is, but I think she just has an older-looking face, too.
Probably.
And, but it's an interesting dynamic to see how these characters are created and how they come together. And the fact that the Riddler works in forensics in the in the police lab is kind of interesting. And, you know, it's just it's a very cool take. I like the feel of the city, even though it doesn't – you know, one thing the Nolan films did was, yeah, they filmed a lot of it in Pittsburgh and Chicago, but it didn't feel like it. Gotham felt its own. With this, it kind of feels like they're filming Gotham on – location, which I think they are filming in Chicago, New York, I believe.
That looks like Chicago.
And you know, I was reading where the producers were saying that they are trying to give the city its own feel, but it doesn't really feel like that to me so far. But it's only three episodes in, so you know, you kind of give it time to grow.
Oh yeah.
And I like some of the name dropping, the Easter eggs. You know, Arkham's coming up. You know, they gave a hint that comedian the first episode could be the Joker. And you know, and we'll see where it goes. And you know, I know they the trailers they've had out. They're going to introduce Victor Zsasz. You know, as a serial killer.
Oh yeah.
There's been rumors of, you know, maybe Jonathan Crane, and there's a lot of endless possibilities they can do because Batman has such a great rogues gallery.
And there's a big, rogues gallery. I just caught that. I was going to say villain lineup. I'm like, oh, that's the same thing. But yeah, you all these Easter eggs. It's really cool. The Balloon Man was different for me. I don't remember him in the Batman universe, but it is a little different.
Yeah. Well, I think what the idea was they were just simply trying to introduce the first ideas of vigilantism to Bruce, because Bruce saw in the news and he said, "Oh, so he helped fight crime, but he killed, and that's bad, and it made him criminal too."
Character development.
So it kind of gave Bruce that idea in his head about being a vigilante but not killing, and. Another thing, I thought, you know, they did some weird things. Like, I guess Barbara, you know, Gordon's future wife is a former lesbian. I thought that was interesting. And, you know, they have to modernize things, I guess, a little bit.
Oh, yeah. And they did it very subtle.
Yeah, that was kind of subtle. But man, the actress is really hot, though, that plays Barbara. I have to say that.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a little random tangent there. you know, another Easter egg, someone at work was pointing out that in this last episode on Monday night, where Fish Mooney, you know, Jada Pinkett Smith, tells that guy to get rid of the other guy for it, and he's dressed with the suspenders and the big old like balloon shirt.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Someone said that that was like the guy who becomes Killer Croc, dressed like that before when he was a thug. I'm a big Batman fan. I don't really remember that. I guess I'd have to look it up. So maybe they were trying to allude to, you know, that guy could become Killer Croc or something. Kind of like they did with the Joker thing in the first episode. We know that comedian's probably not the Joker, but they alluded to that he could be, you know. And I know they're going to bring in Harvey Dent. They just cast the actor. So they're going to do a lot with this show.
Man, that's going to be so cool. I wonder how many seasons this show is going to last, because it does seem that they're moving kind of quick on this. I mean, all these characters are just popping up, you know, through the ranks just over and over, you know, every episode. And, man, I like the little prelude to the next episode that they showed in this last one. And it looks like the Penguin's going to use Jim Gordon as, like, his enforcer. He's going to tell him, you know, who's dirty and what's going on, and he's going to be there. And that's probably how Jim Gordon's going to move through the ranks, the help of a criminal.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they do it. And I just wonder, like you said, how many seasons it'll go, and how do you hold Bruce back for so long? I mean, are we going to see a teenage Bruce training, or how are they going to do it? I mean, I know they said they're doing the Smallville thing where we'll never see him in the suit, or we'll never see Batman. But, you know, there's ways you could play it. What if you did a show where in the future seasons, like, say, 5 or 6 down the road, and he becomes Batman, but yet you never see him? He becomes like an urban legend.
That would make sense.
You know, that would be kind of a cool idea. Like, Gordon's still out there doing his thing, fighting crime, and there's this urban legend of a Batman out there. You know, so we'll see where Gotham goes with it. And but I have been enjoying the show so far, and hopefully coming soon on TrustMeWithJedi.com is a article I'm writing about comic book shows and their presence on television. A lot of people think that, you know, with The Flash and Arrow and Constantine and Gotham, that there's a lot on right now. The Walking Dead, of course, based on television or in a comic book. But comic book television shows have been around with a constant presence going back to Batman, the television series with Adam West.
Yep, and the big old pow zap. Ding,
yeah.
You know, bubbles that pop up.
I mean, you had the Hulk in the 70s, you had Superboy in the late 80s, Lois and Clark. So really, it seems like comic book shows have taken over their waves now, but we've always had a presence of comic book shows. Spider-Man in the late 70s, mm-hmm. including animated versions of these characters, and it just seems now it's so prevalent because there's so many comic book movies in theaters, and now we're getting comic book characters on television, and it's not going anywhere. There's more coming. We've got Daredevil coming to Netflix. We've got Agent Carter. There's already Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on. We've got Powers coming to the PlayStation Network. So the comic book television shows will continue, and look for the coverage of them all on TrustMeWithJedi.com.
Heck yeah.
This is Frank T. Biscuit.
Give me the mic! It's Arnold! I'm going to take you down. I told you I would. Back in Terminator 2, are you listening to Rebel Radio? Hey!
So, Matt, Jedi or Sith?
Ooh, Sith.
I kind of figured you'd say that. Prequels or original trilogy?
Oh, God.
Well, you do realize if you say prequels, I'm throwing you out the window over here.
Yeah, I got to say original trilogies.
So why the Sith?
The powers. The powers. The Force lightning, you know, the Force choke. I mean, come on. And the lightsaber throw.
So you really secretly want to be evil?
I secretly want to be evil, just for the powers.
Does your wife know this?
Maybe, because, you know, well, let's not get into that.
So Darth Vader or Darth Maul?
Ooh, Darth Maul. But if I were him, I'd probably cut off my leg with that extra end of the lightsaber.
Han Solo or Luke Skywalker?
Luke, man. Yeah, Luke.
No way.
Luke, use the Force, Luke.
Han got the bone of hot Princess Leia.
Yeah. Oh,
what did Luke get?
He got a kiss from his sister. It was pretty lame.
Exactly.
It was pretty lame.
Hey, you're listening to Rebel Radio Podcast, and this is Jay Muse, Snooch to the Nooch. Trust me, I'm a Jedi.com. Go there and do it.
Rebel Radio continues on, the official podcast of TrustMeMyJedi.com. It's kind of a new segment we're going to start. We're going to trial run it today, and when we get Frank T. Biscuit back in the recording studio, we'll try a little bit more. But we're just going to quick hit some news stories that have been lately. Let's just get it started. Terminator Genesis. It's going to be PG-13. What do you think about that?
I think if it doesn't have Arnold, it's a waste of my time.
Well, Arnold's in the movie, but
okay,
it's PG-13.
You've got to have the R in there. I mean, that's kind of like, look what they did with the... Bruce Willis, Live Free or Die Hard.
Well, let's not talk about Die Hard after part three. Yeah. Well, but at the same time, you can make a really solid movie and solid stories in PG-13. Look at the Marvel films.
True.
We'll see where it goes. Robert Downey Jr. doing Iron Man 4. He says he is, and he says he isn't. What are we to think here?
I think he had to say he wasn't because he gave away too much.
Possibly.
Definitely.
Did you see the trailer for Tomorrowland?
No, I did not.
Looks really cool. If you haven't seen it, it's at TrustMeOnTheJedi.com. Today, they just announced the Guardians of the Galaxy animated series. Pretty cool, huh? Good idea?
Looks good.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
You know, you've got to do something. It's, you know, we're not going to expect another Guardians film anytime soon. So, you know, we got to have some kind of filler.
They just released a trailer for American Sniper. Did you see that?
I did see.
You know, I know it's not necessarily a genre type film, that, but I did put it on TrustMeJedi.com because I think it's an important film.
It is.
Based on the life of,
American hero.
Chris Kyle. And the movie did go into production before he died, so his family knew the movie was being made.
Yes.
And, you know, Bradley Cooper almost didn't do it after he died until he spoke to the family, and the family wanted him to do it. And, you know, the trailer's intense. I think the movie looks pretty good.
It does look good.
You know, and it's directed by Clint Eastwood. It's coming out this holiday season. And American Sniper, based on the American hero.
Yeah, as long as it's not directed by Sylvester Stallone, and it's all good. We've got some good, it's going to be a good movie.
So The Flash premiered. I know you didn't watch it yet.
No, I didn't. And, I didn't get to see Barry Allen.
If you haven't seen The Flash, it's a little hokey at times, but it's a lot of fun. Check it out. Watch it. We've got Constantine coming up. And I know something you and me are both shy about. The Walking Dead premieres this Sunday.
Oh, man. Sunday fun day, baby.
We get to see what Rick and Daryl do as they try to get out of that train car. And the show already got renewed for a sixth season before an episode even aired this year.
I want to know what happened to Beth. You know, what happened to Beth?
Maybe they ate her.
They might have. Wasn't there... Am I mistaken, or did she wake up in like a hospital in one of these?
There is
trailers?
Footage of her out there, so she probably didn't get eaten. But yeah. You know, someone out there might have not known that.
Maybe.
Now we just spoiled that Beth's still alive. But oh well. The Walking Dead starts this Sunday on AMC. I will be watching it Monday because I have something to do Sunday night, but that's okay. And that's some quick hit news for you here on Rebel Radio, the official podcast of TrustFromTheJedi.com. So this has been another great edition of Rebel Radio, the official podcast of TrustMeJedi.com. We'll talk a little bit about Fight Club.
A little Fight Club.
I'm still hard to believe it's been 15 years.
I feel old.
I am old.
Yeah.
And Star Wars Rebels, exciting. Very cool show. If you're into Star Wars, and who isn't? Actually, I do know a few people who aren't, but they're very sad people. It's airing on Disney XD on Monday nights. Gotham, Monday nights on Fox.
Yes, every Monday night.
Very cool Batman show. If you haven't given it a chance yet, get caught up on demand or your cable provider. Check it out. And some quick news we did. And continue to follow TrustMeJedi.com, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We've got it all. Join us. Follow us. Share links with your friends. Support us. Tell them about Rebel Radio. You know, we're also on iTunes.
On the Apple Store.
On the Apple Store. You go in there, leave us a review. I don't think anyone's left us a review yet, which is kind of sad. So, you know, someone go leave us a review on iTunes. I mean, even if you say we suck, at least you left a review.
Hey, it's input.
Yeah, you know. And we are trying really hard here. And Frank T. Biscuit, not in the recording studio today. I don't know where he is. He's probably at home watching a sad porno movie or something. And
eating Long John Silver's.
Yeah, or eating hot dogs, which is even weirder.
Hot dog.
Gotta take a little jab at Frank T. Biscuit. And, you know, and until next time on Rebel Radio, thanks for listening.
This is the Electric Monkey.
This is Mark, your host, signing off.
Adios, amigos.
Never tell us the odds. May the force be with you. Hasta la vista, baby. Wait, I just stole your line.
Oh, darn.
Sorry,
what
Arnold.
What do I got now? May the force be with you, always.
On the note of the weird-sounding Obi-Wan, good night, everyone. Yeah.